Thank you so much, Caroline. So, hello everyone. I was going to just following from what Caroline was saying, if as well as going in on the bar and saying like your name and where you might be, also something that makes your heart sing. So, Caroline and I were talking about this beforehand, and both of us are like really big fans of disco, and that certainly makes my heart sing. So maybe it's something like that, or maybe it's seeing a frosty morning. Maybe it's having a chat with a good friend. Maybe it's a cup of coffee. But just kind of that's the suggestion, you come in and just say something that makes your heart sing. So what we're going to be doing in the session is looking at various techniques to help our bodies settle in meditation. And there are lots and lots of different ways of, as I'm sure many of you know, of like meditating. And these are some of the points that I've picked up over time through my own practice and through talking about this with other people. I think what's crucial is we could talk about inclusivity. So some of what I might be suggesting, I know will not work for everyone. So hopefully, by giving various options, that is a way of practicing inclusivity. And also, something I've realized over time is about uniqueness. Each of us is a unique human being with a unique human body. So, again, I might make a suggestion to one person, they find it helpful. And I make the same suggestion to another person, and it's unhelpful. So I think that can be some of the guides for what we're doing in the session. So looking to include and also realizing our uniqueness. So bearing that in mind, could you perhaps come to standing? And in terms of inclusivity, I know for at least a few people, standing is not an option. So if it's not an option, and maybe some of you are already doing this, sit down. My partner, who's also a meditation teacher, I remember her saying that a person had asked her, "Can you become enlightened sitting in a chair?" So hopefully the answer is obvious of you can get lighter in whichever body posture. The key is about finding a posture that works well for you. So coming to standing, if that works well for you, if not, please sit in a chair or do what's going to work well for you. So standing, you know, I would suggest the feet are about hip width distance apart. Let me just move that cushion so you can see my feet more clearly. So one of the ways you can measure hip width distance apart is you could have your feet touching and turn one foot out, and that's approximately where your hips are on the ground. For myself personally, I prefer to have my feet a bit wider than hip width distance apart. And then also just allowing your arms to hang down by your side. Again, as an example of uniqueness, for myself, my arms naturally hang quite wide from my body. I know many other people, their arms are much closer in. It's just finding a shape where your arms are hanging down by your side, your feet are on the floor. So, as practitioners, this means whether you've been practicing for 3 weeks or 30 years, we're all practitioners. Simply by the fact of being here, we're practitioners. Hopefully, you can see what I have on my top. Shift happens. Also, remove the F, that also happens. So, as practitioners, maybe in our practice, this gives us more center to deal with the shit happens, the inevitability of that, and also being constructive and positive in terms of the shifts. So standing, remembering inclusivity, if you're, say, feeling a bit dizzy, we'll be standing for perhaps 10, 15 minutes, something like that. So if you feel a bit dizzy, then sit down. Or use a wall. A wall's a great prop. There are four basic poses for meditation. There's standing. There's sitting. So we'll look at sitting in a while. There's walking. I'm a big fan of walking meditation. And there's also lying down. That's actually the most advanced form of meditation, lying down. Because for many of us, definitely including myself, lying down and the next thing, we're asleep. So these practices are about waking up. So standing, and then just see if you can, for those standing, if you can soften a little bit, like Ron say, rigid legs, just maybe a little bit of softness around the knees, soft fingers. And perhaps your eyes are open. That can be a useful strategy, say if you feel a bit dizzy, a bit uncomfortable, keeping the eyes open. Or possibly the eyes are closed. So making this your own practice. So choosing for yourself what's going to work most well, what's going to sustain you as a practitioner. And then simply see if you can feel your feet on the floor. So whatever floor you might be on, personally I'm on the second floor. And obviously you can feel your feet on the floor if you're sitting in a chair. Just feeling your feet on the floor. Maybe you might notice whether there's more weight around the inner edges of your feet, the outer edges of your feet, around your heels, the balls of your toes. Just a simple feeling of feet on floor. And then maybe you notice you're wondering what could happen next. Or perhaps your mind has revisited an earlier incident, conversation, or what you were eating earlier today. Just coming back So this is the nature of mind. The mind moves away from the moment. It's wandering into the future, or as I said, revisiting past. Just coming back. Just this feeling of feet on floor. And in this feeling of feet on floor, maybe if you're feeling a bit dizzy, sometimes with low blood pressure, standing can feel quite uncomfortable after done for a while. So, of course, you can sit down. For those standing, remember that softening of like knees, fingers. So now from here, see if you can bring your awareness to the crown of your head. Perhaps you might like to, just for a moment, touch the crown of your head. So touch can be a great way of enhancing awareness. So having spent some time with the feeling of feet on floor, kind of balancing that energy, that we could almost talk about that being a grounding with this awareness around the crown of the head. Being curious about what you might notice. So awareness wanders. This is a certainty. And we all have the ability to bring our awareness back. So that awareness just at the crown of your head. Noticing what you might feel in that area of your body. So now from here, as long as this is comfortable for you, perhaps you place your hands somewhere on your body. So I place my hands on my lower abdomen. Just take some moments being aware of your body. Whether you're standing or sitting. Maybe you might notice the moving of body with breath. And then if you do have your hands on your body, just releasing your hands. And it's just a little bit of, just kind of shaking, just a little bit of movement. Shaking the hands, shaking the legs. So you can do this whether you're sitting or standing, just shaking. Great way of, almost like shaking things off. And this is frequently what an animal might do when they've been, say, shocked or surprised, just shaking it off. And then coming back in a few moments, we're going to get onto the ground, but I just wanted to do just a little bit of very gentle, very soft moving of the arms with the breath. So you can do this whether you're sitting, standing, remembering inclusivity. If this causes you any strain, say for a shoulder, then just leave the arms as they are. Otherwise, when you next inhale, maybe you bring your arms about as high as your shoulders. And then as you exhale, just taking the arms out wide, keeping this soft. With an inhale, bring the arms back and then exhale down. So just a few more times with this movement. Great way of helping us to connect to this body. So the inhale brings the arms back. And then the exhale takes the arms down. So slow movement, if you can, timing your movement with the breath. So exhales out wide, inhales together, exhale down. One more time for those doing this movement, inhale. And then there's the exhale. And then there's the inhale. And then exhale. So we're going to get closer to the ground. Do remember, you're most welcome to sit in a chair. Let me just come round so you can see me in profile. So I've got a chair here. You know, sitting in a chair, I know sometimes, you know, depending on body proportions, people's feet might not reach the floor. That could be true for you because it's good to get the feet like grounded on the floor as much as we were grounded when standing. So you could take, say, a book or a cushion, just put it under the feet. And then, if possible, great word, if possible, the spine is, so there's this kind of lifting up, run like, you might call this slouchasana. So run like using the back of the chair, because then there can be potentially some loss of attention, some loss of awareness. However, I know some people need to use the back of the chair to support themselves. But if possible, the back is away from the chair for those sitting in the chair. So coming eventually onto the ground. And when I was talking about uniqueness of body, you know, this is so true. We all have different constructed bodies. So I gave that example of how my arms are hanging down by my side. So for myself, naturally, my arms hang some distance away from my upper body. So this uniqueness is also about our hip structure. So if you've got maybe a big cushion or perhaps a yoga bolster, again, I'll do this in profile so you can see me more clearly. Could you sit down like this? So I've folded my legs back. What can be useful here is just a very gentle easing of the calves outwards, just a very gentle easing of the calves outwards. So technically, this would be described as internal rotation of hips. There's some flexion with the knees. We're pressing into the lower legs. This is a strong stretch into the ankles. So if you feel it quite strong in your ankles, one suggestion, so I've got these little devices here called knee G's, or maybe you've got a sock or something similar, and you place it under the ankle. You see what I've done? I've just placed that under the ankle. What that does is it supports the stretch and reduces the bend. Another way you can do that for those on blankets, so I'm a big fan of blankets, is you could wriggle back so your feet are just off the edge of the blanket. Sitting in this shape, so remembering inclusivity and uniqueness, so I know for at least a few people this shape will not work, but for those that can sit in this shape, sitting up. So the same with the chair, having this awareness of the upper body is open. And then what do we do with our hands? Because in this pose, sometimes it's quite common, it's almost like the hands are sliding down as we stay for a while and we start hunching our back and losing that openness. So for those of you, as Caroline was mentioning, it's cold here in the UK. For those of you who perhaps have a hoodie, if this could work with your arm proportions, you could put your hands in the pockets. So for myself personally, I find this really supportive. But this is about the length of my arms to my upper body, uniqueness. We're all different. So I know for some people this will not work. It might feel like the kind of shoulders are hunched up or the pockets are too far away. So then what I would suggest is having a cushion like this. So the arms are supported. And then with the arms being supported, whether it's with a cushion or the hoodie look, sitting up. So please know that if this feels uncomfortable for your body, I sometimes will talk about the radicalism of comfort. So if this feels uncomfortable for your body, if you're sitting like this and your inner narrative might include the words knee surgery, then adjust. So remembering the chair, if it could be better for you, you can feel free to bring the feet in front. We will be looking at that in a few minutes. Otherwise, for those that can, staying in this shape, and then being aware of what you might be doing with your head. Our heads are heavy. A lot of us spend a lot of time looking at these small screens, the head coming forwards. See if you might have a feeling. And of course, we can also apply that to when we're standing, for those sitting in chairs. See if you might have a feeling that your head is like a ball at the top of a fountain. So if the head's coming forwards, then it's going to fall down. Equally, if the head's going back, then it can fall down. See if you can get this feeling, this sense. Of your head, like a ball at the top of a fountain. And part of that could include a very slight softening of your chin towards your chest. Not so much you've just closed your throat, but just a very quite subtle movement of the chin slightly towards the chest. So please pay attention to your body. So if this is feeling increasingly uncomfortable, perhaps sit in a chair, or bring your feet forwards. Otherwise, just for maybe a few more minutes, we'll just, if you can, stay sitting in this internal rotation of hips. So possibly your eyes are closed, possibly your eyes are open. If you're feeling quite tired, that would be a good reason to keep your eyes open. I know for at least a few people, closing the eyes can be a factor in agitation. So then keep your eyes open. So making your practice appropriate and sustainable for your body. So just now, notice where your mind might be. And then from here, gradually coming out of this posture, for those in it, bring your feet to the front. So our distractions can be fascinating. Where do we get distracted to? Personally, I'm a planner. And one of the great teachings of the pandemic has been, don't spend so much time planning. So I just wanted to quickly show you something. I know some of you will be familiar with this, a meditation bench. So meditation benches, they come in different shapes and sizes. They can be so helpful, particularly for knee issues and low back issues. So let me just very quickly model a meditation bench. So what you do with a meditation bench, so my hips are now, and I push the legs out, so this is important, otherwise it can collapse. My hips are now in what you might call neutral. Less pressure into the knees. So they're very good, as I said, for low back issues. If your low back feels a bit sore or your knees a bit sore, I would really recommend a meditation bench. You can build a rudimentary meditation bench. So say these are yoga bricks. And what you could do is if you have a yoga block, see what I've just done? So a block on two bricks. So this would be a sort of meditation bench, and then you sit on that. So what we're going to do now, we're going to come to sitting, and we're going to look at the possibility of externally rotating our hips. So initially, for those on the ground, sitting on something, so I'm sitting on a cushion. Maybe you're sitting on a book or a yoga block. In my view, everyone, I rarely say everyone, everyone will benefit from sitting on something. Maybe something as low as just a folded up blanket. But just getting that little bit of lift under the hips can make this much more doable, much more sustainable. So just cross your legs. Again, remembering for at least a few people, this will not work. So having the legs crossed, for those with the legs crossed, just wanted to quickly show you a couple of options which can be useful in supporting ourselves in this practice. So one of them can be, I've just taken a folded up blanket, so you can use towels. I've just placed it under the cross of my shins. And then this can be particularly useful for people with knee issues and also people with a lot of mobility in their bodies. So some of you all know what I'm talking about. When you've got a lot of mobility in your body, what can be most beneficial is support. So I've rolled up a blanket, long blanket like this, and then I'm wrapping it around and I'm tucking it in. So it's almost like a swaddling, a supporting of the body. So this can be super helpful, knee issues, if someone's got a lot of mobility in their body. So sitting with the legs crossed, sitting on something, because you want to make sure, let me just again come in profile so you can see me more clearly. You want to make sure that you're not doing this. So my knees are higher than my hips, which then will put a lot of tension into the thighs and quite quickly put pressure into the lower back. So the knees are either same height as the hips or lower than the hips. So sitting with the legs crossed, so for some of you, this will be the most comfortable option. For regular sitting, it's a good idea to change the way you sit. So using myself as an example, my default is left foot in and then right foot like this. This is my default. This is where I feel most comfortable. So some days I'll put my right foot in and then bring in my left foot, which makes my left knee slightly off the ground. So what I then do is put a little bit of padding under the knee. So padding like this. We want to be supported. So if your knees are off the ground like this, it's not going to work. So getting supported. So in my own practice, then some days I'll sit in the internal rotation we just looked at. Some days I'll sit on a chair. And some days I'll use a meditation bench. So in terms of sustainability, I believe changing the way we sit can be helpful for our sustainability as practitioners. I'm not a fan of doing this. See what I've done just here? Bringing a foot in. It's one of these situations that certainly some people can get away with it and some people can't. And the difficulty is you only realize what group you're in when it's too late. So by doing this, by bringing the foot into what some of you would call half lotus, this can be a really strong stretch along the outer ankle. So sitting in a way that supports your body. Some of you all know the Zen teacher Dogen. So Dogen was 13th century, and one of the images he used for meditation was sitting like a mountain. So seeing if you can find your mountain with now the legs in front. However, if that's not working for you, remembering uniqueness and inclusivity, chair, or maybe you're like, it really doesn't work for me having my legs in front. So maybe you've folded your legs back. But if you can, sitting with the legs in front, maybe you're using blanket support. Dogen also had this interaction. He was in charge of a monastery. And so I'm paraphrasing here. The conversation was between Dogen and the cook, the monastery cook, and essentially the cook said to Dogen, "What do you want for dinner?" Very good question. What do you want for dinner? Dogan's response was, cook with the ingredients you've got. So in this unique human body, cooking with the ingredients you've got, which might mean that you're perhaps doing something like this. Or this. Finding a shape that supports you. So there's an openness. Sometimes people might take a blanket and wrap the blanket around their middle. Again, let me quickly demo. So you're going to wrap a blanket around here, and then you're putting the hands in here. This can be really quite comforting. I sometimes feel when I come to sitting, it's these moments, the initial moments, that are so important. It's like paying attention, waking up to my body circumstances. You know, maybe you might imagine borrowing a friend's car as one example. So getting into the unfamiliar car, and you kind of go through this checklist of like mirrors, steering wheel. Is it petrol? Is it diesel? Very, very important. Automatic, manual. It's the same with a shape for sitting. Kind of going through your kind of checklist. And as I mentioned before, if you're sitting in a shape and an element in your narrative is like knee surgery, change what you're doing. Be comfortable in what you're, in how you're sitting. So possibly eyes open, possibly eyes closed. For those with the eyes open, I'd recommend you soften the seeing down. Remembering that heavy head, the ball at the top of a fountain. And then explore your awareness of breathing. So when we were standing earlier, when I said about placing the hands on the body, this can help us to feel our body breathing. So if you might find that helpful, then please feel free to do that. You know, being curious about where you feel the breath in your body. For myself, I feel the breath more around the nostril area. Possibly you're not really feeling the breath in your body, in which case, just keep looking. We're all breathing. Or perhaps you feel it more around the back of your throat. Around the chest abdomen area. So without controlling, as best as possible, letting go of judgment. This isn't a manipulating of breath. This is just a simple awareness, being curious. Where do I feel the breath in my body? Awareness wanders, coming back. And one of the ways we can, it's almost like anchoring our awareness, is through labeling. So a suggestion is that at the end of each out-breath, just kind of mentally noting in your mind, in whatever is your language, out. It's the end of each out-breath, each exhale, just kind of mentally noting out. Each time you notice awareness wandering, bring the awareness back. Perhaps using this technique of noting. So it's that word out in whatever language you're most comfortable with. The end of each out-breath, each exhale. If there's increasing physical discomfort, please move. If you can, being aware of how you move. And then re-establishing your seat, whether that's on a chair, on a cushion, on a bench. Coming back to this feeling of breath and body. This is a way of anchoring our awareness, just that noting out. Notice where your mind is. then we're going to slightly change. So rather than noting the out-breath, we're now going to note the in-breath. So whatever language you're most comfortable with, just at the beginning of the inhale, the word in. Again, notice where your mind is. It can go so many different directions. And we'll slightly change the emphasis. So letting go of the noting, just see if you can feel your whole body breathing. So we're not controlling the breath. This isn't a kind of breathing manipulation exercise. We're just exploring the feeling of the body breathing. The whole body breathing. whole body breathing, the feeling of the whole body breathing. So now from here, maybe you might like to bring your hands together, palms pressing. Perhaps keep your hands down or resting your hands on your body. Allowing your chin towards your chest. So as part of my own practice, I recite this piece from a Tibetan teacher, Tsongkhapa. So it dates back to the 1400s. It begins: this human birth is precious, an opportunity to awaken. But this body is impermanent. Ready or not, one day I shall die. So this life I must know as a tiny splash of a raindrop, a thing of beauty that disappears even as it comes into being. The karma I create shapes the course of my life. But however I act, life has inevitable difficulties. No one can control it all. Only the Dharma can free me and others from suffering forever. Therefore, I recall my heart's longing for freedom, and I resolve to make use of every day and night to find it. Thank you. So, time for questions. Before we move into questions, I just wanted to reiterate what Caroline mentioned earlier, which is about the importance of dana, generosity. Some of you will be familiar with the paramitas, the kind of guidances for skillful living. And the first paramita is dana. And without dana, none of this would be possible. So, Caroline, you are going to be monitoring the questions and telling me what was coming up from people. Hello, Caroline. Okay. So, Caroline seems to have been lost somewhere. Questions. So, for those of you who've got questions, maybe. So.
Hi, Norman. Sorry, I had a problem turning my microphone on, so I just had to play around with my browser there. I'm sorry.
21st century, Caroline.
Yeah.
Glad to hear your voice, Caroline.
So there's no questions in the box at the moment. Yeah. And it sometimes takes a few minutes for questions to come in. But I had a question, actually.
Please.
Which you may or may not to be able to help with. It's something that I've had for many years. So when I sit, and when I sit for longer periods, and I find sometimes it tends to happen even when I'm the more concentrated I get, actually, the more it can happen, is that I find my shoulders slumping forward and my back rounds, and then constantly forcing myself to try and stay upright can create quite a lot of tension in my body. And I found that, you know, putting more height under my seat can help. But I just wondered if you had any other thoughts about trying to stop that from happening.
Kind of what immediately came into my mind, Caroline, was about the middle way.
Yeah.
So, you know, the danger of like kind of getting too slumped is like you hit the ground. But also, if you're putting so much effort into like staying upright, that kind of tension will be, I'm not sure if undermining is the right word, but will be a challenge. So, you know, one of the things these can be, I'm sure you've used meditation benches yourself. You know, sometimes it can be something as simple as sitting in a bench. But I do think that, you know, just this, you know, our bodies are always here, as much as our breath is always here. So using them as tools to aid our concentration. But if then our body starts like losing that kind of openness, it can be difficult. The thing that also, and so this can be very common, certainly happens for myself, is when sitting, one of the legs goes numb. Sitting for a while, your leg goes numb. And, you know, for myself, I've sat through numbness. I would just say it's about, if your leg has gone numb, do not stand up. And actually, this happened to me not that long ago, and I was with other people, and I stood up and I fell over, you know, because I'm standing up and literally I'm one-legged. So if your leg goes numb, and sometimes a leg going numb actually might get too much, in which case this whole thing of like just very mindfully with awareness moving. But at the end of a sit, if your leg's gone numb, you just kind of undo your legs and like kind of shake them out and wait and wait and wait. And then finally when it's come back, then you stand up. But that's a good question about for yourself, of this kind of getting more and more concentrated and then noticing what's happening in your body. And it's just trying to find that kind of, it's this delicate balance, isn't it? Of keeping the openness without getting so like tense.
Yeah, it's just a constant battle, isn't really the right phrase, but it's just something that I'm trying to find that balance really between not constantly focusing on it, so it's taking all my awareness and my attention, but also not getting to the point where I'm just kind of slumping over because I'm getting quite relaxed. So,
you know, another suggestion, Caroline, have you meditated lying down?
Rarely, occasionally, but rarely.
You know, because there are useful strategies you can do when you meditate lying down, like having an arm raised. So when you kind of go drowsy, then the arm falls. That kind of wakes you up. And then you go back to, say, you're lying down. You just model it so people can see. So you're lying down, you've got an arm raised like this.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be, I just think, a key, you know, when I talked earlier about inclusivity and uniqueness. So we are all unique. And I remember that meditation retreat we were both on, Caroline, Guy House, and, you know, you having your experience, I'm having my experience. So this realization of uniqueness, and then, you know, remember those words from Dogen of like, you know, cook. So perhaps, you know, something to kind of play around with of actually changing your posture and being curious. And maybe you lie down and like 8 hours later, you wake up. But yeah, it's trying to find that kind of place of, you know, because there is that, if you're getting like too much like this,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of, yeah. Does that help at all?
Yes, it does. Definitely.
I would just, you know, what I've learned over time is about encouraging an openness to a variety of different strategies, different ways of sitting. And, you know this, Caroline, you know, some people can be so dogmatic. It's like, you must do this. You should do that. And something I aspire as a, certainly as when I'm teaching, someone said to me a year or two ago, they said, masturbation. I was like, what did you say? She said, masturbation. So it's trying to get rid of terms like you must or you should. Caroline, you should, you know, be able to fold flat fours. You've been practicing yoga for 10 years. What are you doing, Caroline? So kind of letting go of all of that and like really kind of paying attention. Paying attention to this body and being open to different possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say one thing that I didn't mention when I was teaching, of like knee pain. And again, it can be one of these things that perhaps a few people can get away with experiencing knee pain. But as a general rule, if someone says to me, or I'm sitting in a posture and I'm experiencing discomfort in my knee, I would suggest they move. And so remembering that kind of the thing with the blanket. And actually, so I'm talking from my own personal experience. You know, I've had knee issues in the past, fortunately. And one of my responses to those knee issues is a kind of sequence of movements. So if anyone's interested in, I call it my knee exercise sequence, I've gone again, 21st century is now filmed. So you could email me through my website and I can say, it's only about these 6 different movements, but they can be helpful for knees. And the other thing I was going to, that piece from Tsongkhapa, I can give you a close up of mine and my partner's cat. So this is our cat and his name is Vajra, or full name, Lord Vajra Rinpoche the Brave. And he's saying, wake up. And on the back of the card, there is that piece I said at the end of the set from Tsongkhapa. So if anyone would like one of those cards or 20 of those cards, again, it's a kind of, it's dana from myself and my partner and others to the kind of the practice community. So you could just email me through my website and I can send them to you.
Yeah, and I'll put Norman's website in the chat as well for everybody.
Thank you, Caroline.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering my question. And there's a few questions in the box now. So I'll let me just have a look and see. Okay. So I'll read the first one and then I'll take myself off again. So this is from Jonathan and he says, for those who have trauma or complex PTSD, what poses can help those who tend to dissociate or go into our heads and or lose track of the body? And for those with ongoing fatigue, are there any lying poses that, say, the Buddha described that one could try for meditation?
So there is, as I demonstrated when I was talking with Caroline, there is like lying down. What I would recommend for those lying down is rather than lying flat on the floor, again, let me model this, is you take like a blanket or a pillow perhaps, although this pillow would be a bit high, I think a blanket would be better. So you have that under your head and then you'd also have something. Let me just move this back a bit. So yeah. So the head is pillowed and then the knees are supported. So this can be a way of lessening strain into your lower back. So in terms of fatigue, lying down might be helpful, or you might just go asleep. I just think this point about looking at different means, and what I said at the beginning, that I know from my own experience, what can work well for one person is not so helpful for another person. in terms of, like we talked about, I talked about like eyes closed, eyes open, someone with a lot of agitation, someone with PTSD, it might be much better to keep your eyes open. Maybe, again, in those circumstances, it might be better for you to sit close to a wall so you have that sense of security behind you. Now, these are, you know, there are lots of different factors, and I think it's just about kind of inquiry and looking into seeing, well, what can help me most. And then when you found something that is helpful, continue the inquiry, because at some stage it might be less helpful. And maybe, and I remember working with someone who does have complex PTSD, and she was sitting close to the wall. And then after a few days, she was more, found herself more able to move into the room. So it's kind of being, it's being open to possibilities, being willing to try things out, being willing to sit in a chair. As I said before, you know, personally, I do sometimes sit in a chair. I think it's a fabulous way of meditating. So this question is like, what's going to work well for you? Knowing that there are different suggestions, and also knowing that sometimes, so, you know, these endless meditation techniques, and part of practice is staying with something. So we can, like, we can constantly, you know, if one day we do this technique, next day we do another technique, third day another, fourth day. It's like there's a kind of, there's an element of not settling. So I hope that is a little bit helpful. There's lots of, yeah, there are lots of things there. Another question, Caroline?
Okay, yes. So the next question is from another Caroline. And she says, thank you, that was lovely. So I think she was referring to your talk and your examples of the meditation postures earlier. I loved your open, supportive attitude. When with the breath I noted out, I also found myself noting in and the reverse. Basically, I can't note one without the other. Do you think this is a problem? And if so, is there a solution you can suggest?
No, I don't think it's a problem. You know, for myself, I see, you know, I'm not a natural meditator, if that makes any sense. And I know some people are very kind of, can go very quickly into a meditative state. And that's not true for myself. My self-view is that I'm chugging along on the hard shoulder of meditation. And that's fine. That's just how I am. It took me a long time with that marking of, so Caroline, I do get what you're saying. It took me a long time to kind of get into that rhythm. So by a long time, I'm talking about years. I'm a slow learner. It took me a long time. So Caroline, do what feels comfortable for you. So you're marking both parts of the breath, both the out breath and then when you breathe in, saying in. And then maybe over time you can get that sense of, so one of the ideas behind that practice is when we're marking the out breath, that's kind of essentially, that's marking the past. And then when we're marking the in breath, that's marking the future. As I'm sure you know, we spend a lot of time in past and future. And then when we come into that whole body, it's an attempted awareness. Some people really like, I'm not feeling anything. That's a valid response. But coming into that whole body breathing, and then the idea will be, that's when we're here. That's when we're actually in this moment. And it's fantastic we can remember past. It's great that we plan. But for many of us, we're spending way too much time in past, future, and not enough time here. So keep practicing, Caroline. Stay open. Do what feels comfortable for yourself and be curious.
Okay. So the next question is from Marita. And she says, this was most helpful, thank you. I have been taught to find a posture and stick to it, which at times has created a lot of tension and uncertainty during periods of physical pain.
I think, Marita, you've answered your own question. You know, certainly for myself, a posture that's causing tension, causing pain, is not good, is not sustainable. I'm not into the boot camp. I'm not, whether it's a meditation practice, whether it's a yoga practice, and I've been there and I've done it. And I think sometimes it can cause a lot of rigidity. And there's a deep irony that we're doing these practices that are hopefully helping us to be softer, more flexible. But instead we're like, I must stay, I mustn't move. And for me, no. You know, don't go into those places of physical discomfort, of increasing physical discomfort. And it's like you grip and like soften. Don't struggle, soften. And just another point for myself in terms of my body understanding, I think it's actually really quite important for our bodies to move. So, you know, like Monday, you externally rotate like this. Tuesday, you internally rotate like this. Wednesday, you sit on the chair. Thursday, you're using a meditation bench. And then Friday, you come back to the external rotation. But, you know, let's be a bit kind of. Yeah, I said earlier about the radicalism of comfort. Kindness. And practice kindness in how we sit. Remembering when I say sit, that certainly includes sitting in a chair. So that's what I'd say.
Okay, thanks, Norman. The next question is from Larry, and Larry asks, what poses are helpful to relieve sciatica discomfort?
There is actually, so Larry, if you're in a yoga class with me, I would suggest a pose that's lying on your front, and you're bringing, and some people actually sleep like this. I could very quickly model it. So you're kind of lying on your front. So hopefully, Larry, you can see me, and I've brought up my leg like this. So that might be helpful for sciatica. There can be, I'm very much into, you could call it the multifactorial approach. So there can be different causes of sciatica, which can range from like something going on in your buttocks to something going on in your lower back. So it's trying a few things out. I would suggest try that pose, see if it helps. And avoid postures that cause you discomfort, which might include sitting like this. Caroline?
Okay, so the next question is from Cindy, who says, I slump forward also. Then I notice my back gets tired of trying to sit up straighter. Or is it just that my back muscles aren't very strong?
I kind of want to say everything is there. It's like, because if we're slumping, that's going to make our back muscles tired. And then if we're sitting rigid, that's going to make our back muscles tired. You know, doing exercises that strengthen our backs, really important for our health. You know, the kind of the strong back. However, it's not having a strong back as though we're on some parade ground. You know, there's that kind of, you know, imagine the soldier on the parade ground. So there's a rigidity there. So it's trying to find this, almost like this quality of strength and being soft and doing exercises that strengthen us. I'm a strong believer in movement. By movement, I mean a variety of different, whether it's Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, running, playing football, going to the gym, movement so helpful, healthy for our bodies. And I think what you might have these days, which perhaps wasn't so prevalent maybe 30 years ago, is long-term meditation practitioners will emphasize now the importance of movement that maybe 30 years ago they weren't talking about, because they realize that, just as one, what you were talking about, Cynthia, a strong back can help us as meditators.
Okay, so there's one more question in the box at the moment from Angela, who asks, can you briefly explain walking meditation? Thanks.
So Angela, different ways to do walking meditation. You know, some people do it incredibly slowly, and I've practiced where it's like literally you're taking a breath and then you're lifting the foot and then you're placing the next foot down as you exhale, then you inhale, something like that. Personally, I just walk slowly. So walking slowly, and it's a wonderful practice to do barefoot, you know, perhaps not at this time of year for many of us, but just that feeling of the contact of the ground below our feet, and then our minds wander. We think, oh, what should I have for dinner? Did that person really say that to me? And then we come back. So the kind of the movement can be a way of keeping our minds more here. Yeah, I love walking meditation, and you can do it in a lot of different ways. I just tend to say, you know, go to your local park and just walk up and down. Not necessarily a long distance, maybe 30, 40 meters, then turn around, walk back, and then turn around, walk back, then turn around, and then walk back. And it's almost like I sometimes feel with like walking meditation, it's like we're polishing ourselves, if that makes any sense.
Okay, there's a comment actually from Jane, who says, I practice Qi Lel Qigong daily and teach it. I highly recommend it. Stay well.
Yes, exactly. You know, this move our bodies in as many different directions as possible, as much as possible.
Okay, so no more questions in the box now. So we have a few minutes left if anybody else would like to ask a question. Otherwise, Norman, I don't know if there's anything you wanted to say. Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes.
You know, something that I found really helpful, going back to that piece from Tsongkhapa, is memorizing it, which took me a while. I was very resistant to memorizing because we live in an anti-memory culture. You know, we just ask Google. So memorizing it was a real way of embedding that in myself. And then obviously sometimes when I recite it, I do it automatically. And sometimes I can be, because what it's saying is saying about the preciousness of this life. So these bodies are precious. And I think as practitioners, this is something to keep reminding ourselves about. And that's why I have the aversion to when someone says, you must stay in this posture. You must, it's almost like you must suffer even more than you're already suffering. So the preciousness of life and the precariousness of life. Anything happens. So knowing those, getting that sense can be a real kind of empowerment of us as practitioners to kind of, wow, this trip, this human body, isn't this amazing? And knowing it is precarious. Anything can happen. Pandemics, injuries, illness, death, it can all happen. And then that sense of we can't fix things. We can do it, we can do our best, but you know, there is that inevitability of difficulty. So it's not so much, oh, difficulties shouldn't happen. It's like difficulties do happen. and how do we deal with them? So for myself as a practitioner, is getting some skills to deal with the difficulties and really trying to touch into the precariousness and the preciousness, helping me to realize, to appreciate what I've got. I kind of tend to think that's like, you know, I talked earlier about, you know, keys of inclusivity and uniqueness. And I said about sustainability, making what we do appropriate for how we are. And just appreciating this. I think that's all I need to say, Caroline.
Okay, thanks, Norman. Great. I was wondering if my camera was going to come back on then or not. There are a couple more questions, but we're pretty much running out of time now. We've only got a minute or two left. So I think we'll wrap up. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you, Norman, for teaching with us today. It's been so wonderful hearing you teach again, a real joy. And it's just reminded me of all those lovely sessions, especially those 3.5 hour yin sessions that you used to teach in London Bridge that I really loved. And if anybody is based in London and enjoys yoga practice, I would thoroughly recommend Norman's classes. Marita's asking for Norman's website. Yes, and I've just copied that, so let me paste that into the chat there. And you should be able to see Norman's bio underneath the session page at the bottom, and his social media pages and his website are all linked from there as well. I think that's everything I need to say. We are running daily meditations with Soha Levy from Monday to Friday. So we hope to see some of you there. If any of you are available to join, this week. And yeah, I think that's everything. So Norman, thank you again for being here with us today. Thank you everybody so much for being here and for your practice. And I hope that we will see you again in another session soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.